بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنام سيدنا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. In trying to learn more about and hopefully develop ourselves such that we're able to benefit from the Ahlul Bayt as the path to salvation, as they are the path to salvation, we were discussing the reality or trying to scratch the surface on the topic of the reality of who the Ahlul Bayt are, instead of having a superficial understanding of whom the Ahlul Bayt are. And what we tried to do was to use some of the passages of Ziyara Jami'a Kabira, a blessed Ziyara from our ninth Imam, Imam Al-Hadi, Salamullah Alayh. Obviously, for those who've looked at this Ziyara, it's too long for us to go over and study all of it, not only in the month of Ramadan, but even if you add a couple of months, I don't think you're going to be able to do with 1 hour a day or 45 minutes a day. So from the beginning, the intention wasn't to cover the entire ziyarah. It is to get us familiar with some of the passages, some of the main passages. What I'm going to do, inshallah, is to wrap that up, okay? Because we want to go to the next part and segment of our series, and that is going to be with understanding our path, the path to salvation. What is salvation? What is our path? And then look how they are connected. The Ahlul Bayt are connected to that. So inshallah today we're going to be wrapping up the discussion of understanding who the reality or understanding the reality of who the Ahlul Bayt are. What we have covered are some of the first passages only of Ziyara Jami'a Kabira. Of course, we have enriched it by adding some of the other passages to give us better understandings of these very passages that we read. There's about six of them, I believe, that we have read. We mentioned they are Ahlul Bayt al-Nubuwwah, they're extensions of prophethood. This is beyond just being related to the Holy Prophet, and it's beyond just simply having a knowledge of what the religion is. There's much more to that. It's something spiritual beyond our understanding when we say they are the extension of prophethood. And as we mentioned in that session, being the extension of prophethood, as some of the ulama have said, is the greatest of descriptions that can be given to the Ahlul Bayt. It is the reason why they have whatever else we say they have. So that was the first thing. Then we had they are where the mission lies. Okay. وَمَوْذِعَ الرِّسَالَةِ The mission of the Prophet, the mission that God had given the Holy Prophet after the Prophet left this world, his body. He didn't have direct, in the way we do, contact with this world. Then that message, that mission continued, and the continuation is with the Ahlul Bayt. That's what that line says. We had another passage that says they are, well, it says مختلف الملائكة. Angels are constantly and frequently descending and ascending. They're constantly coming to them and leaving them. That's what مختلف means. And مختلف الملائكة is where the angels are coming and going and coming and going. And we explain that what that means is that they are the center of this universe. If God wants to do anything in this universe, in this material realm at the very least, to start with our understanding, the angels are His means, but the angels work under the Prophet, and then the Imam. So if the angels are carrying out tasks, they're going to the Imam, learning about what they actually need to do, and then going out and carrying it out. The center of the universe, they are the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the representative of God on earth. They are Waliyullah. They have the Wilaya, Wilayatul Amr. We mentioned those lines from, again, this ziyarah itself. They're referred to as Ulil Amr. They have the authority of all affairs. So the angels coming and going has to do with that. So that's another thing we learned about them. They are where the revelation is contained. وَمَهْبِطَ الْوَاحِي وَاحِي Revelation, mahbit is where it remains. We gave the example of a puddle of water. The rain pours, and where it remains on the surface of the earth is a puddle, for example, or a small pond if you have more water there. That's called mahbit. Their mahbitul wahy, it was received by the Holy Prophet, but it remains with the Ahlul Bayt. So they are mahbitul wahy. They are also, as the ziyarah said, the source of the mines. Ma'adin means a mine for something, a gold mine, which is a source. Okay, they're the source of rahmah, blessings. And we explained that, obviously, just like everything else that we have said, God is the source for everything. He's the infinite source. But He has made the Ahlul Bayt a source through which He feeds and gives rahmah to all of His creation after that. That's what ma'adan al-rahmah means. So that's another thing we learned about them. And the last thing we had was that they are storages of divine knowledge. وَخُزَّانَ الْعِلْمِ Now, just to end that bit, to then start putting things into perspective and seeing what we're trying to do with this knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt, this understanding of the Ahlul Bayt, we'd like to end reading the passages of the ziyarah with regards to the Ahlul Bayt, but with these lines. The Imams have taught us to say to the Ahlul Bayt, فَبَلَغَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ أَشْرَفَ مَحَلِّ الْمُكَرَّمِينَ God has put you in the highest positions of the greatest and the most noble of the nobles. وَأَعْلَى مَنَازِلِ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ And the highest peaks of the positions of the مُقَرَّبِينَ Those who are close to Allah, the closest of the close. أَعْلَى مَنَازِلِ Their positions are the closest to Allah. وَأَرْفَعَ دَرَجَاتِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ The highest levels and stations of those who've been given a message, al-mursaleen, حيث لا يلحقه لاحق ولا يفوقه فائق. No one can get to, no one can exceed their limit. ولا يطمع في إدراكه طامع. If you're even thinking that maybe I can try to understand what their station is, you can't even begin to imagine. لا يطمع the want, for want of a better word. The person who would want, who is hopeful, who may be hopeful to be able to understand, he says, no, they cannot be hopeful of understanding this. That's how high it is. Another passage, La uhsi thana'akum. I cannot count your greatness, your praise. I cannot. Wala ablughu min al-madhi kunhakum. Through praise, I cannot truly describe who you are. We're supposed to say to the Ahlul Bayt. وَمِنَ الْوَصْفِ قَدْرَكُمْ I can't describe your greatness. Okay. And the last passage I'll read is this. كَيْفَ أَصِفُ حُسْنَ ثَنَائِكُمْ How can I actually praise you and use words of praise to explain who you are? وَأُحْسِي جَمِيلَ بَلَائِكُمْ I wanted to end it there because However much we spend that time and we try to understand those passages from Ziyarah Jami'a Kabira at the beginning of it, we should know even that is not really giving us the truth of who the Ahlul Bayt are, because we don't have the ability to understand who they are. Okay? But what is it we're trying to understand? We can't get actually who they are, but we can have some level of understanding. That's what we're doing, right? So all of this understanding we're trying to put together, what are we trying to get to? When we say they're the extension of prophethood, they are where the mission lies, they are the center of the universe, they're this or that. What exactly are we trying to, or I shouldn't say what am I trying to say, because I'm just trying to tell you what the Ahlul Bayt have given us. Why are the Ahlul Bayt telling us this, and why has God told them to tell us this? What's so important about this? Is it simply the idea of feeling happy about this, although there is benefit in that? Feeling good about this, knowing it, just being mesmerized by knowing that truth, is that it? Although that is good, but is that it? Or there's something more than that to it? What are we trying to get from this? What are we supposed to get from this? It seems like what is trying to be said to us through these descriptions is to tell us that, look, the actual and main sabab between you and Allah are the Ahlul Bayt. And I need to explain that. What do I mean by that? Why is it important to know the sabab? As human beings living on earth, we go and explore and try to figure out what the sabab, which the translation of sabab is cause. What is the cause of various things? We go and spend time. Scientists are trying to discover all of that, right? You want to know what the cause of an earthquake is. Once you know what the cause of an earthquake is, you might be able to control it. Okay? Or at the very least, you can detect it. If you can detect it, then you'll see what is going to be the cause of this building not trembling when there's an earthquake. Okay, you learn what is going to give it the strength and the ability to stand if there's an earthquake. That material used for that purpose is the sabab, the cause of keeping this building standing when there's an earthquake. You try to discover what that sabab is, what that cause is. Why? Because you go to that cause when you need it. There's certain asbab, certain causes that we are in touch with on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And it's important for us to know that, but we take it for granted. We all know that. We take it for granted. For example, one of the asbab we have is water. And I'm sure you guys are waiting for that moment when you can have a drink tonight, inshallah, in about 30 minutes, hopefully. If I let you. Is that a salawat, please? That water is the cause that quenches your thirst. That's the sabab, okay? When you have the need, when you need water, when you feel that thirst, when your body needs it, you go get it. Because your cells need that water to function. Without it, it's not going to, your body's not going to function, okay? The cause for you to feel full and fulfilled in that way is food, proper food. Okay. Proper food. There are certain things you can't eat. You may chew that up and swallow it, but instead of getting you any or causing you not to feel hunger and giving you the nutrients that you're looking for, instead of that, it may give you a heart attack. It may paralyze you. It may cause you loads of problems. It's not your food. Okay. So you're looking for the right foods, the right nutrients, the right stuff to consume. You take it in and it has that effect. It's important that you know what sabab, what cause is going to help you and allow you to live longer, allow you to have a healthy body. You want to know what the sabab for the illness is. Everyone's looking for the cause of the cure of cancer, various cancers. Everyone's searching for it, right? Why are they searching for it? Because when you need it, you need that cause that's going to get rid of this problem of yours. You have a deficiency. Your body is not functioning right. There is a cause that can help you get rid of this problem. You're looking for that cause. The sabab. And there's plenty of them. It's the summer. You're sitting in here. Alhamdulillah, you're chilled and it's cool in here. You're not dealing with the heat outside. The brother was telling me yesterday, unfortunately, 800 people died in Karachi, Pakistan because of the heat. Okay. You look for the sabab to cool your body down when it's hot outside. There's certain asbab, there's a cause that can help you cool your body down to reach a certain temperature because your body needs that particular temperature. If it goes above that, you don't cool it down, you're going to die. Okay. In the winter, the reverse of that happens. This part of the world gets really cold. There's not heat. You're looking for the sabab that's going to give you that heat. And you're always looking for the best of the ones that you can find, right? So asbab are important. The causes are important. Because although God is above all of this, God is the one that creates heat and He creates the cool. Okay. He quenches the thirst. He has created the water. He has created the effect of the water. All of that is there. But God says, look, you have this need. If you have a physical need, if you have a material need, if your body has this particular need, the cause that is going to help you, what you need is water in this instance. In a different instance, it's milk that you need. In a third instance, it's honey that you need. In a fourth instance, it's meat that you need. Meat is an important food that we're supposed to consume. The Prophet has said, if anyone goes without having meat for more than 40 days, they're not of me. Okay, there's something important in this. You need to have it. You're supposed to have it. God is the one that created that meat, and He gave it that effect that when I consume it, it causes something within my body and it helps me. Right? God has given it that. But God has given that effect. He hasn't given fire the effect of water. Okay. If you're thirsty, you don't take fire in. Don't do that. Okay. If you're thirsty, don't have spicy food. Okay. If you're thirsty, take water in. Water quenches your thirst. He hasn't given anything else that effect. It's the water that He has given that effect, right? That's the cause for quenching your thirst. He's given this food the causality to allow you to receive the nutrients that you need, okay? If you use the other food, as we said, it's going to have the other effect. God didn't give that the causality. It gave the meat the causality. He gave honey the causality of giving you the cure, okay? God made honey shifa, but He made honey shifa. He didn't make milk shifa. Milk is good, but not the way honey is. Honey is shifa. Okay. Why? It's His system. He says, I've given honey that effect. Honey has this effect. This medication has this effect. Antibiotics, when you have bacteria that you're dealing with, if you have a virus that's dealing with you, it's something else, whatever it is. We got plenty of doctors here, I think. Okay. Everything is made for something very specific. God has given it that causality, right? So when you're in need, what do? You go to the cause. All of these descriptions, brothers and sisters, are telling us, look, there is a cause above these causes. There's a cause above these causes. Let me see if I've written that line down. Yes, I have. There's a cause above these causes that He has given all of these effects to. Okay. Let me not jump to that. He has given all of these effects to. In fact, if water has an impact on you, a positive one at the right time, because it's the right measurement. You go above that, then it's not going to help you. It's going to harm you. You take it at the wrong time, it's going to harm you. They say if you're bleeding severely, you don't give the person water. because it's going to harm them. You take water at the right time and the right measurements. Okay? If water is benefiting you, if there's a benefit in water, it's through these causes that I am giving that water that effect. Let me read this part of Ziyara Jama Kabira. I said that was the last part, but we still have more to read from it. Recite Salawat, please. It says, Bikum Fatahallah. God through you, bi, that ba means through someone. So Fatahallah, God makes things happen. But bikum, okay, through you. You are the causes that God has made the causes. وَبِكُمْ يَخْتَمْ He started things with you and He will end with you. Okay, through you. In other words, they are the ones that end it through or as God's agents. As God's agents. So it's God doing it, but they are the causes that He has given that causality to. بِكُمْ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ وَبِكُمْ يَخْتَمْ بِكُمْ يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ The rain pours and we're all in need of it. Drought comes our way, we're in deep trouble. Okay? بِكُمْ يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ With you, God makes the rain pour. If there is rain, the cause of it, the original cause of it is Allah. Allah makes it. يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ God makes it rain. But, بِكُمْ Remember, God quenches your thirst, but through what? Water. He's given the causality to water. You take that water to quench your thirst. God fulfills your hunger. But through what? It's through the food. بِكُمْ يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ You see these material causes? Yes, we understand. Physics tells us, okay, this is how it works. There's a sort of heat, the sun, and it causes these molecules to evaporate. The winds blow, that has its own mechanism. All of these are asbab. Yes, these are causes. But there's a cause above them. Causes above them. And the cause we're talk to about here are the Ahlul Bayt. بِكُمْ يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ It's you that causes the rain to fall. And all the material things that you see happening, it's through their will, which is the extension of God's will, they're agents of God that make this happen. So, بِكُمْ يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَبِكُمْ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاءَ أَنْ تَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ It is through you that God is keeping this entire system intact in the way it is. Otherwise, you would have... Have you seen sometimes people have some wild imaginations. They put them into cartoons or even it make look like a movie as well with the special effects and so on and so forth. Planets just start coming together and colliding. Okay, what is it that isn't causing the earth to suddenly just knock against the sun and all of us are gone? Why? Why is it orbiting the earth, the sun? The earth is orbiting the sun the way it is. And it's been doing so for billions of years. God says, بِكُمْ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاءَ أَن تَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Okay. Through the Ahlul Bayt, He's doing this. They are the cause above the mechanism that's within this material realm. There is a mechanism in the material realm, but they are the causes above them, and above all is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى Okay. And then it continues, وَبِكُمْ يُنَفِّسُ الْهَمُ وَيَكْشِفُ الظُّرُّ Pains, hardships, stress, worries, grief, these problems that we're always trying to avoid. Okay. God, or we're told here to say to the Imams, وَبِكُمْ يُنَفِّسُ الْهَمُ It's through the Ahlul Bayt. If you ever feel that relief, the Ahlul Bayt are causing it. Of course, it's Allah, Yunafisu, God is, but Bikum, through the Ahlul Bayt. وَبِكُمْ يَكْشِفُ الظُّرِّ If you are at loss, if you are losing, you've lost your job, for example, or you've lost or had a lot of losses in business or whatever it is, dhur. If this is removed from you, it's bikum. God removes it, but through the Ahlul Bayt. They are the cause, the intermediary cause. Okay? So why is it important to know that they are this? They are the center of the universe. They are the extension of prophethood. We are being told that these are the causes that are above the material causes. Why? First, let's make our steps towards what's going to lead to the next segment of our discussion, inshallah. First, to tell us, look, if you need anything, if you're in need of water, if you're in need of food, if you're in need of whatever it is, if you're facing problems and difficulties, yes, there are material causes you go to that you identify. You need money to sustain yourself. That is correct. So you need to study for it. You need to go to work for it. You got to find a job. And if you lose your job, then you start looking for a job. That's all correct. You need to do that because that's dealing with the material causes. We're in this material world. The material causes we need to deal with. But there is a cause above them that controls those material causes. Go to them. Okay. Go to them. But it might be a question in our minds, well, if these causes are taking care of us, then okay, they're taking care of us. Even people who are not believing in the Ahlul Bayt or not even believing in God, these causes have that effect on them. Right? A person who is an atheist, water quenches their thirst as well. God has made this water such that even if you're kafir, this is the Rahmaniyah of Allah, even if you're an atheist, God makes this water quench your thirst. Even if you're an atheist, He makes this food give you the nutrients that you need. Okay, so why is it so important? Because, brothers and sisters, there's something that the Ahlul Bayt can give and nothing else can give. There is no other cause for it. There's something that the Ahlul Bayt can give for us humans. This isn't for other beings. This is for human beings. For human beings, there's something that we need if we understand that need of ours. If we realize the need, and this is itself very important. Sometimes you don't realize your need. You have the need, you don't realize it. And therefore, you don't go towards fulfilling that need. And you can even end up dying. You can even end up dying. If you don't feel the thirst that you have, you can die. If you don't feel, one of the problems they people have with cancer is that it doesn't reveal itself until it's in the later stages of its development. If you don't catch it in an earlier stage, it's going to be very difficult to deal with. Okay, there is a need. You have a need, but you're not aware of it. Okay. You don't feel it. You don't feel that need, then you're not going to take any steps towards fulfilling that need, taking care of that need. We have a need that none of these material causes can fulfill. If water quenches our thirst anyway, okay, fine, go to the water and take a glass of water and drink it, inshallah. You don't need to see the Ahlul Bayt's relationship with that. If you need a job, okay, go search for the job. Try to find someone that's going to give you. Thank you very much. Recite salawat, please. Some people find it awkward when we need that job. We go to Imam al-Ridha, we plead to him. We go to Imam al-Hussein, we cry, begging him to give us a job. We go to Imam al-Ridha, we plead and we cry, Ya Imam al-Ridha, give me a good wife or a good husband. Okay, for those who are in need. People don't understand that. They are the causes. Okay, you don't want to go to these causes because there are ordinary material causes. All right, do whatever you wish. I would still not choose to do that. I would still go to the Ahlul Bayt as intermediaries, of course, obviously. And still go to the Ahlul Bayt because you do all that search for a good spouse. Okay, After marriage, after a few years, you realize that not the good match, not the right match. Good person, but we're not a good match. You ask Imam al-Ridha, you ask Imam al-Husayn, you ask Amir al-Mu'mineen, okay? Even for material things, right? You can do that. You don't want to do that, but the significance isn't for any of this. Okay, get whatever you want from this material cause. There's something you can't get from any other source. And that is salvation in this world and in the hereafter. Having water isn't salvation, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we get this, inshallah, I'm going to expound on this topic tomorrow, what salvation is, inshallah. But something wrong that we think prosperity is, if we have a good water supply, it's not getting cut off, we don't even understand what it means for people not to have water. You got water anywhere you need it, okay, in this country. We don't even understand what it means for people to struggle for water. Food similarly, shelter similarly, transportation, health, all of these things. You got all of that. Do you have prosperity? No, this is not prosperity. This isn't salvation. It's not salvation in this world, nor is it for the hereafter. We're not living our lives, brothers and sisters. We're not living our lives in this world. I emphasize that. It's not only the here. The hereafter is pretty clear for us. When we start hitting the domain of afterlife, it becomes pretty evident. Look, none of these material causes are going to affect you in the hereafter. This notion that the Egyptian pharaohs thought that bring all the gold in the grave, resurrection, I'll have all of this. No, none of this gold is going to mean anything in the day of judgment. Okay, doesn't work. This system, the material causes, do not work. If you want anything, it's going to be the Ahlul Bayt. Their teachings, your implementation of those teachings, and your connection with the Ahlul Bayt, which we're going to be talking about. But even in this world, even in this world, this is not salvation, this is not prosperity. The definition of prosperity is not as narrow as just having our physical needs taken care of, just like animals. Okay, we're not animals. We're human beings. We're human beings. But this requires further explanation, which inshallah tomorrow we'll start talking about that and what the path to salvation inshallah is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this eve of the month of Ramadan, this time of mercy, special time of mercy, as it is the month of Ramadan, and also we are approaching Maghrib. These are special times of mercy on every day. And since this is a special month, it's combined. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten our hearts with the light of the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Him to give us the ma'rifah and the true knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become His true companions. We ask Him to protect and prolong the life of all those helping the cause of Islam, especially those putting their lives on the line to protect Islam and Muslims in Iraq, in Yemen, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Bahrain, in Pakistan, wherever believers are doing that. We ask Allah to save them, to help them, to grant them victory against the enemies of Islam. O Allah, we ask You to protect our maraja, and especially our leader. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. Ya Allah, we ask You to grant all of us and all believers globally their hajat, their needs, their requests. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all the ill from amongst the believers, those who are in this community and those who are elsewhere in the world. And we ask Allah to relieve all believers from the hardships, difficulties that the believers are facing, especially the ones that we see very sad scenes in Yemen, especially now it's more. We are seeing in Iraq as well, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Pakistan. Oh Allah, we ask You to save all of these believers from the atrocities that they're facing, and from the difficulties and hardships and sufferings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alih, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.